hard for people today to appreciate how popular canoeing was at the turn of the 20th century. You could go to Minneapolis or some town in New York on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, you would see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of canoes on the water, people out socializing in a canoe.
That's Barry Christensen of the Wooden Canoe Heritage Association. I'm Jim Gallagher, and in this installment of Paddle Minnesota, I talk with Barry about wooden canoes that were once so popular. I met Barry in September on the shore of Sawbill Lake at the edge of the Boundary Waters Wilderness.
I started the Minnesota chapter maybe 2001 when I moved to Minnesota. I had lived in New York 8 years previously, and where I was affiliated as a member with what's called Chapter 1 of the Wooden Canoe Heritage Association. It was a great group of people. And when I moved out to the Midwest, I moved to Iowa. Well, there's no Wooden Canoe chapter in Iowa. There's not even any water. But eventually I moved to Minnesota. And then I said, you know what? There's got to be a lot of people around here that want to do canoeing. Let's start a chapter. It's before email. And I just mailed out a bunch of letters. And we had the first meeting in May of 2001 in Litchfield, which is where I lived. And we had a pretty good turnout. It was a very active, good, vibrant chapter. Some of those original members, their life has changed. They're not interested in the same way. There's a few new people coming in along the way. Alex Combe.
That's canoe builder Alex Combe in Knife River.
Came up with the idea coming up here, three, 4 years ago, whatever it was. It turned out to be a pretty successful event. We've had a really good time. And what's interesting is that people from outside our organization hear about it through the internet and just come in out of curiosity.
Tell me about the Wooden Canoe Heritage Association and what its purpose is.
It has a written purpose that I can't quote verbatim, but it's to perpetuate the use and appreciation of historic wooden canoes, whether they're all wood or they're wood canvas. It was formed in the late 70s, early 80s, I think, by some people in Wisconsin, and it slowly grew. I heard about it in the mid to later 80s, and I joined then. It has 4,000 to 5,000 members nationally. It has a magazine called Wooden Canoe. It's hard for people today to appreciate how popular canoeing was at the turn of the 20th century. In the early 1900s, you could go to Minneapolis or some town in New York, or let's get real extreme, let's say the Charles River in Boston. On a beautiful Sunday afternoon, you would see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of canoes on the water, people out socializing in a canoe. It was used for courting. I mean, there were so many special types of canoes manufactured in the heyday. And those are the ones that are really cool. There are some out there that are just like, wow. You can't believe the whole design or the different things that the way they're shaped in the deck. Like if you go into Minneapolis right now and you paddle Calhoun and Lake Harriet, and if you go paddle there right today, you will still see in spots large storage racks full of canoes and, of course, now kayaks. But what they are a reminder of how it all started over 100 years ago now. At the end of the day, those would have been canoe liveries with racks and racks and racks of wood canvas canoes where people would rent them and go out and paddle on the lakes on a Sunday afternoon. So there were manufacturers all across the country, dozens and dozens of them, making canoes. And so you had Mullins and Mueller's and Thompson's and Old Town's and Chestnut's and Peterborough's, and they were made in Duluth, they were made in Stillwater, they were made in all over in Wisconsin, Shell Lake Canoe, Racine Canoe. There were just so many different types of canoes, more than I can count right now. Mm-hmm. They were everywhere. But then, like any fad, started to taper down. Eventually it changed with the introduction of aluminum. So everything changes over time. Most of those manufacturers, just one by one over the years, just disappeared. Or they transitioned. In Minnesota, Joe Saliga. Joe was a one-person shop, building Saliga canoes in his garage. Nothing, no fancy factory. Just Joe in his garage and his wife, decade after decade, making canoes.
What was once an industry producing thousands of canoes in its heyday is now a small collection of builders, craftspeople, and restorers keeping alive the art of the wood canoe.
If you look now, you'll see people like Alex Combe, Roland Thurlow, Jerry Staubach, Jeannie Borkland up in Ely. There's a lot of people who have not just brought it back, but kept it going. And these are craftsmen making a very small number of canoes in a month. And they make much finer canoes in terms of quality than these ones that were produced all those days ago. So the history and everything is still there, it's still going on, but at a much different level than previously.
We're talking with Barry Christensen of the Wooden Canoe Heritage Association in this installment of Paddle Minnesota on Northern Community Radio. How did you get interested in wood canoes?
When I was at Boy Scouts, and you'd get this magazine called Boy's Life. And in the Boy's Life magazine, there would be these full-color ads from Old Town Canoe, back in the early 60s, you know, showing these beautiful canoes. And I always thought, wow, look at that. Wouldn't that be something? And I learned how to canoe in the Scouts in a Grumman aluminum canoe. So I never even saw a wood canvas canoe until I ended up going to graduate school in Maine in the late 70s. And lo and behold, the University of Maine had a half a dozen wood canvas canoes for their graduate students to use in their research. So that's where I first started using them. And then through people I knew there, I learned of a canoe for sale for $200, and I bought it. And that's the canoe I brought here this weekend. It's a 1951 Old Town 16-foot Yankee CS grade. Nothing fancy, just spruce inwells and outwells, whatever scrap wood they could find for the decks and thwarts. Mine has maple or whatever. And that was my first canoe. It was made the month and year that I was born, which is just coincidence. I mean, didn't know that at the time. When you get an Old Town canoe, if you don't know anything about it, if you can get the serial number, you can still go to Old Town or through Wooden Canoe Heritage Association. We have all the records. And you can get a build sheet telling you when they started construction, when they put the ribs on, when they planked it, what color they painted it, what options it had, who it was sold to, and when it was shipped. You can get all that for free. And so I learned mine was sold to a Girl Scout camp in South Carolina in, I guess, 1951. Since I bought it, though, it's gone. So Maine to Maryland to Massachusetts to Wyoming to New York to Iowa to Minnesota to California and back to Minnesota.
So it's a part of the family. It doesn't sound like you're giving that canoe up.
That canoe is, the kids are going to have to worry about what to do with that. It's staying with me no matter if it's just hung in the garage and I just look at it. It's not going anywhere. It's not even my favorite canoe to paddle. It just means something to me because of its history with me.
Like a man with many children, Barry names and describes the attributes of the other old canoes that he owns.
I have a 1929 HW model. AA grade, which means mahogany trim, Old Town. It was a sailing canoe. I still have high hopes for making a sailing canoe, but it's not. It's just a paddling canoe, but I've redone it. It took me on and off, mostly off, for over 20 years to restore it. I lugged that thing all over the country just as a scrap of wood. And more than once, we thought about roasting marshmallows with it, but we never did. And I also have a Thompson, a 16-foot Thompson. And then a couple years ago, I picked up a Peterborough that needs restoration. And I picked up a chestnut, a 15-foot chestnut that needs restoration. In Michigan this summer, I bumped into a canoe someone was selling. And like, I don't really need another canoe, right? Okay, because in addition to those wood ones, I have plastic and Kevlar and kayaks and all kinds of stuff. But there it was. It was a 1942 or something. I don't remember the year. Mahogany trim, AA grade. 17 foot, and I didn't have a 17 foot canoe. I had 16s and 15s and 18s, but now I got a 17. So, you know, if you're going to have a collection, you got to round it out.
You got to have them all. How did you learn to work on wood canvas canoes?
Well, I'm not really very good at it compared to many other people. Just trial and error and talking with people and having friends help. I don't know how to do it. I'll find somebody to help me. I'm not as good as I want to be, but I'm as good as I am. My canoes are not going to win any contest, but they mean something to me, and they work.
How big a building do you need to store your boats?
It can never be too big. The perfect number of canoes is whatever you have, plus maybe just one more. When I was moving to Brainerd a couple years ago, I told the realtor, I really need a big garage or an extra pole building, and a house would be nice too.